Good morning. It's 8464CA. Well, we're going to talk food now, one of my favourite subjects. And my special guest this morning, renowned chef and beloved former MasterChef judge, Gary Megan. He's back with a brand new cookbook. It's called Good Food Every Day, a comprehensive kitchen bible that all home cooks should have. It's full of great tips, tweaks and techniques for the best results every time on classic, impressive and achievable recipes. That sounds pretty good. Gary, welcome along to The Breakfast Show. So nice to have you as my guest this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on. And what a sell. I love it. No more to be said about the book, is there?
That's basically... that's exactly what I was going to put to you, because this is my breakfast show. So I want to indulge myself. So am I allowed to indulge myself before I indulge you?
Yeah, of course you can. You go for your life.
Got to tell you a story. About 6 months ago, we had some beloved friends that we owed a bit of a lunch, a bit of a dinner to, and they're real foodies, so they all arrived, we sat them down, they had their drinks, and I announced the menu. And you should have seen the looks on their faces when I said, what we're having today, prawn cocktails, chicken Maryland, and trifle. Now, of course, from the 1970s, anyone who lived through the 70s, they will remember all those dishes. Now, look, let me tell you about what we did. Now, for the prawn cocktails, it was basically a seafood salad with Asian greens and a Vietnamese dressing, that real Asian flavour. Yeah, so it was deconstructed. For the chicken Maryland, grilled marinated chicken thighs with a zippy pineapple salsa and a banana dipping sauce. Then for trifle, listen to this, it was basically a mango and orange curacao jelly in a parfait glass with creme fraiche and then slices of sponge. Despite their horror, they just loved it. And I must say, me and the boss, we pulled it off really well. But really, at the end of the day, that's what Australian modern cuisine is all about. It's the deconstruction and the reconstruction. And I should imagine that's something that you cover in your book.
Yeah, look, you know what it is? It's adding a local flavour. And I know it sounds funny, but, you know, we've all, pre-COVID, we've all travelled. You know, Australians are great travellers. And I've always said, you know, we live those travels vicariously through food when we come home. And, you know, we're used to, you know, like that for, you know, we're talking about prawn cocktail and adding, you know, sweet, salt, sour flavours we used to all about. We love crunch. Australians love crunch. They love that kind of crunch texture and oozy, soft texture. You put those two things together in a dish, everybody loves it, right? And it can be fresh, you know, crunchy, zesty ingredients, or they can be kind of, you know, crunchy, fried, you know, salty ingredients, which, again, we love. So I love that, you know, and why not? When you actually read the menu first time round, and I pictured that classic trifle, I go, there's nothing wrong with a classic trifle, though, is there? You know? So, and look, you know, I take great pleasure in winding the Italian butt, for example, and go, look, tiramisu is just trifle. Don't pull it right over my eyes. You know, it's just got coffee in it, you know? But yeah, essentially it is, right? So, you know, it's all about having fun.
Look, let's talk about something that I guess can be a real challenge, because we've got a favourite duck dish and it really needs fresh mango and fresh lychees, but it's such a challenge at certain times of year to be able to get that fresh, you know, those fresh produce, those fresh ingredients. But I think at the end of the day, you know, if you guide your particular menus, but, you know, for what's available, and particularly in the tropics, that's a really good starting point of getting those flavours right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, chefs probably bang on a little bit too much sometimes about, you know, buying local, buying seasonal. But, you know, I've had great arguments around the dinner table with people that have opposing ideas about that. But, you know, for me, it's all about connection. You know, I love the idea of going to a farmer's market, not because I'm a snob, but because, you know, I like meeting the people that are closest to it, that they can give me a story, that they can make what I'm eating relatable and enjoyable. And, of course, with that comes all of their wealth of knowledge too, you know, whether it's your butcher or your fishmonger or, you know, your local farmer's market buying, you know, mangoes, for example, you know. And mangoes ain't mangoes, you know, there's lots of different varieties.
Sure.
You know, in a kind of a Southeast Asian context like Thai, you know, you'd have a green mango or a green papaya. You're eating a sour fruit rather than a sweet fruit. So yeah, all of that is really important. And obviously, you know, it depends what you like. What, you know, we certainly in Queensland for a long time, you know, the idea of flexing in things like, you know, aromatics like ginger, coriander, chilies of all varieties, you know, has been the go for a long time, and they're delicious, you know.
Now, look, let's talk a little bit more about one of the key things I found over the years, because I do spend a bit of time in the kitchen, is getting the balance right. And we've actually had a boarder at home, an 18-year-old, a friend of my son's, and his deal is that he cooks dinner a couple of times a week.
Good on you.
Now, what he does, though, is he gets the greatest basis, but unfortunately, when it comes to the tandoori sauce, the flavours, he just kills it, and it's just inedible sometimes. So I think, flavour is so important. But getting that balance is one of the key things that you need to get right in your cooking.
Yeah, look, in the book that I've cooked my book. Yeah. No, I've actually cooked my book a lot. Actually,
I'm sure.
Especially through COVID. I'm not, but during lockdown, my family, had to put up with many tests of things that I needed to get absolutely right. So there's a more complicated recipe where people can't rely on their judgment. Like, what's the starting point? What should it taste like? You've got to make sure that recipe is absolutely bang on, down to, whether it's a quarter of a teaspoon or something, or describing something, a process, maybe softening and caramelizing onions to bring out the sweetness, for example, that they're the crucial part of getting a dish. And it's interesting, when you don't do it, that you don't get anywhere close to the result you want. So actually that process, not just testing, but then translating that into a recipe with some tips and tricks, is quite difficult if you want to nail it. And I certainly know that I've had horror moments in books that I've written in the past where something goes to print and it's slightly wrong, and then I just go, oh no, people are going to be making this all over Australia going, yeah, that recipe doesn't work. Or it doesn't work to the point that I'd like it to. And for example, I cooked, I'll follow a recipe out of the book just to remind myself that's right. And I'm not a good recipe follower, let's be honest. As a chef, I like to play.
Yeah.
But I follow a recipe and go, yeah, I'm pleased with that, I like it. That 1.5 tablespoons of black pepper seemed a lot in the curry, but actually it's absolutely spot on and everybody in the family loves it. So, yeah, it's not a given. You can't expect people to know, unless they've eaten the dish, unless they've got a reference point, that they've been somewhere and gone, oh, when I was in Thailand, I ate that, or when I was in Vietnam, I ate that, and I'll never forget the flavour. It's very difficult to have that. It's almost impossible to have that kind of knowledge in an innate way. So, yeah, good recipe.
Let's talk a little bit more about what's covered in the book, and I guess reflects what we've just been talking about as well, is 5 recipes every cook should learn to master. I'm trying to guess what they are. Can I guess? There's got to be a spag bog in there, maybe a bread, or maybe a cake. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, no, all of the above. And I've actually steered away from, answering that question specifically, because I think the more I talk to people, and actually even doing some of the interviews for the books, you meet people that don't cook at all and not really interested, and you've got to kind of tease them over the line. So giving them 5 things to do is almost too much. So I go, whatever you love to cook. So the new line is, whatever you love to cook, love to eat, is really what I encourage you to cook first.
Yeah.
So if it is a cake and you love chocolate cake, it's just your thing, then learn to make it. I've got a great chocolate cake recipe, sure. So learn to make it. It becomes your thing. And then everybody relies on you to deliver that great chocolate cake. It's like, who's going to bring the pav at Christmas? Gary's going to bring it because his pav's brilliant. He can't cook anything else to save his life. That pav is spot on. So that's what I kind of say. So look, the essentials of cooking for me are entirely different, and maybe for you, are entirely different to, a student that's just left home and, gone to live in shared accommodation is responsible for cooking one night a week. So, yeah, cook what you love to eat first. That's the key.
And it's interesting, it reminds me, and food often does take you back to your childhood. I think it was my grade 3 or grade 4 teacher, and she was tough, she was scary. But I remember at Christmas, she gave us a recipe book, and I kept that book for years. It was so good, and I had success with it, and I learned to make cinnamon tea cakes. And, it was such a wonderful, wonderful gift from a fairly formidable and scary teacher, I must say, Gary.
It softened the edges, did it?
It certainly did. It was quite amazing. It really was.
Yeah, beautiful. Do you put apple, just out of curiosity, in your cinnamon tea cake?
No.
It's just a straight flavoured tea cake.
But just getting that sponge cake right, and just getting the right amount of cinnamon and sugar on top, it's a complete meal on its own. But I must admit, the ones that I've had over the years with the apple in them are pretty special, I must say.
Yeah, absolutely. Just adds that little bit of freshness. But some of the original idea behind the book, even though I probably drifted away a little bit from the publisher's brief of complete simplicity, especially when my wife would look at a recipe that's like 2 pages long and go, hang on a minute, this doesn't seem to fit the brief. Is that I want people to use this book properly, you know, like scribbling the pages.
Yep.
You know, if they find there's a tea cake recipe in there with apple, if they want to add pear or they want to add orange zest instead of lemon zest, you know, draw a circle around it, add it. You know, if you want an extra teaspoon or something, draw a circle around it. So that it becomes almost like a hand-me-down, you know, that hand-me-down from your teacher that, you know, you've used often. That's what I want this cookbook to be. And it ain't a fancy coffee table book. It's jam-packed full of recipes that work. And so that's what I'm really pleased about.
Well, look, as we wrap up this morning, I want to find out the utensils that you can't live without. And we're not talking about the standards. I want to know about those more unusual ones that just make life so much easier in the kitchen.
Goodness me. I mean, look, my go-to recommendation always, and there are standards, because let's be honest, there are different starting points again. A good knife that you can rely on that you'll have for your lifetime.
Yep.
And actually, even a friend of mine texted me, who's not a chef, he's in the electricity business, believe it or not, and he said, recommend a frying pan, will you? And I didn't send him a one-word answer. It was a couple of paragraphs. So things like that, I always go, look, buy stuff that's going to last. Even, you know, your utensils, the big stuff, the spoon, the whisk, the whatever, go to a cook shop, you know, like a professional cook shop, and buy a whisk that, you know, is like solid and probably 3 times the cost of what you might buy at your supermarket.
Yeah.
So that thing's going to be in your drawer for so long, you're going to give it to your grandkids. Do you know what I mean?
Excellent.
So that's the number one. But other little things like a microplane, I love a microplane. And look, it doesn't have to be that brand, but it's a really fine, sharp grater that you can pick different kind of grades.
Okay.
And things like, change it, you know, things like chopping garlic become an irrelevance because it just goes through the grater.
Yeah.
So when I make a curry, the ginger, the garlic that it says, you know, ginger garlic paste, you know, put in a blender and whiz together, that doesn't happen. It goes through the microplane and it's brilliant. So I'd say buy something like that and a good flexible spatula, like, you know, like Matpa, which is a French brand, that will scrape every little skerrick of that cake mixture out of the bowl, which either goes into your mouth or into the cake tin, you know?
And that's the case. It may clean the bowl, but where it actually ends up is always one that's possibly up in the air. Look, it's been great to talk to you this morning. I've got to say, you're easier to talk to than Pete Evans. I think that's only a fair comment to make. You don't have to respond to that, but I've got to make...
An interesting podcast would be, I didn't speak much.
That's right. But Gary, great to talk to you this morning. I really enjoyed chat. And thanks for saying all the right things about my deconstructed 70s menu. Check out his new book. It's about to hit bookstores as we speak. It's called Good Food Every Single Day, a comprehensive kitchen Bible that all home cooks should have. Gary, have a wonderful day and thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, mate.
You can sing.